Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Oh, y'all can do better than that now. This is not for me, it's for him. Praise God. So praise the Lord, everybody. All right, that's what I'm talking about. Amen. God is so good that he blessed me to get up this morning with my right mind stayed on him. Amen. Praise God. How many know that every day you wake up, it's a gift? Sometimes mentally, we just assume that we're supposed to get up. But how many know if God blesses you to wake up, it's a gift from him, and we have to embrace it by giving him thanks and honor and glory, because he does know how to make us get up. Praise God. Amen. So that's a good thing. And that's just really being mindful of him being in control of our lives. Some people lose consciousness of that because they believe they're in charge. But how many know we know better? Praise God. Well, on behalf of Kingdom Faith International Christian Center in Columbus, Ohio, we want to bring greetings to you. The ministry is interesting. You guys start at 10:30. We start at 10:32. And it's just a good relationship that God has blessed us to form as we've been here. And they've been praying for me and praying for you. You may not know it, but you got other brothers and sisters all around the world. Yes. They don't look like you, though. I think people are going to be shocked when they get to heaven. Yeah, praise God. The good thing is what connects us is not our race is not what connects us. What connects us is the blood of Jesus. It's what Jesus has done that connects us, that brings the oneness in who he says we are in reference to who he is inside of us. So again, we want to thank you again for your hospitality, Pastor Brubaker and also Debbie. We want to just thank you guys, and also the congregation just welcoming us to be here. And we're just learning how to be obedient to God. I mean, my life belongs to him. I was 25 years old when I gave my heart to the Lord. I didn't grow up in church. I was a heathen. When I say I was heathen, I was full of myself. And I wasn't full of the word. I was just full of myself. But God was gracious enough to change my life. And he changed my life. He changed my wife. He changed my children. He taught me how to be a father when I didn't have a father. The word of God truly has been a lamp unto my feet and a light into my path. So I know that you have a story too, and I know that that story means that we've been redeemed. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So I'm excited. I also have with me one of our elders of the ministry, Elder Chuck Scales. I'm going to ask him to stand if you would, and just wave at the people if you would. Woo! Amen. Yeah, you have, in the Bible, Jesus sent them out two by two. You have Paul and Silas, amen. Peter and John, was Ron and Chuck. Amen. So usually when I'm traveling and have an opportunity to come before the body of Christ, I usually make sure that someone comes with me. My wife of 41 years, she's not here, but she does send her love. We have an anniversary coming up July the 10th. It'll be 42 years. And many of you may not know it, she's my junior high school sweetheart. So when we add that in there, we've been together for quite a long time. So she says, you know what, I have trained you very well. I said, and I have, ditto, I have done the same, praise God. So God has blessed us. We have two sons, amen. I think Michael, he's got a birthday coming up soon. He'll be 41. And then RJ, I think he's 38. And both of them are in ministry with us. And I've got four granddaughters. Amen. The oldest one is 20. The youngest is 3 going on 16. So I've been prophesying. I've been wanting a boy to come forth, but there's no boy yet. And both of them told me that they're done. And the one only had one, the other one has 3. So, but I'm very much appreciative for them and what God has blessed us in terms of his gracious word that we have learned to receive and also to walk in. So today I just want to thank you for being here, and I've just been having a great time. Hope you can make an effort to come tonight. There's something I believe God has for you tonight. Amen. Praise God. So the Bible says, he that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Amen. Can y'all say amen again? Amen. All right, let's pray and we'll get right into the word today. Father, we want to honor your presence and thank you once again for allowing us to be here before these kings and priests that are called by your name. We count it a great joy that you've put us on assignment to come to Kaiser, West Virginia, Father, just to be here and to speak a word of faith to these people to encourage them. Amen, that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Father, I thank you for allowing me to be a vessel, an instrument of righteousness for your name's sake. And I'm praying even now that you would just use me in a mighty way, that your word will be disseminated in a way that people can receive it in their hearts and their minds, and also in their walk. Father, I yield myself to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Come on, Holy Ghost, do what you do best. Use this vessel of clay. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, praise God. Well, we've been talking a lot about the kingdom. Yeah. You may not know it. This is not anything new. It's what Jesus preached. Yes. Not only that, but in Scripture, in Isaiah 6 and 9, it talks about, unto us a son is born, a child is given. It says, upon his shoulders will be the government of God, and he's going to declare the kingdom of God. So when we look at, most people don't understand today that, yes, we got saved in the church, but you got born in a kingdom. And some people get it confused because sometimes we think it's just about the church, and that's all the total consumption about what we need to do is just come to church. But we need to come to church because when we come to church, this is where we find fellowship. Not only fellowship is a place where we receive training. Not only that, this is time where we also give our tithes and our offerings. There's three things that you give when you come to church: your time, your talent, and also your resources. So most people don't understand that church is really a place where we assemble. The church building is a place where we assemble. It's a place where we come, amen, to receive information from God out of a book called the Bible. Amen. Most people don't know you. To know God, amen, you have to understand that God, amen, he reveals himself through the word of God. So, amen, this is our textbook for life. Amen. Not only for this life, but also for the next life. Amen. And you can always tell, amen, even when we're in school, naturally, amen, when I went to high school, and you know those who were serious, they will always carry their books. Is that all right? You can tell some people didn't take it serious because they didn't carry their books and they didn't come to class. How many know you don't get the input, you can't pass? Is that all right? And sometimes we can't pass in life in terms of having victory the way God has designed it because we're still learning how to do it his way. When I say that, I say that to the degree that God never saved us to be religious. And religious is just a cycle of doing something where we're offering something to God, which is usually something in our hands or our service. But the point is, we don't want to give our heart to him. We don't want to give our life to him. And God's taken us past religion to relationship. And relationship means that he's trying to do something in your heart, in your mind, in your mouth, and in your walk. Is that all right? So today we're going to be talking about the kingdom a little bit. Again, tonight, I mean, we'll be probably talking about it tonight too, but today we're going to be talking about the kingdom. Amen. I want you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter number 4 and verse number 17. If you have electronic devices, you can kind of open them up because that's an easy way to get to the scriptures also. Amen. If you download it on your phone. So we're talking about the kingdom of God. Jesus preached the kingdom of God. That was the message that he declared. That was a different message than Moses preached. Amen. All the other patriarchs, amen. Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament, bringing us into the New Testament. Amen. In other words, if you ran the 4x4 relay, you had a baton, and you begin to run your leg, and then you begin to pass it to the next person. So what happens here is that John is born first. Amen. John the Baptist, and that's not his last name. It's John who baptized. Is that all right? Amen. That was his job. Amen. To baptize. Amen. John was the forerunner of Christ. He was to prepare the people from a mindset of the Mosaic law and getting them to move in the place called grace. Grace comes by Jesus Christ. The Bible said the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So there's going to be a shift in mentality. There's going to be a shift in dimensions, shift in how we're going to worship God. There's going to be a shift. But the people got so locked down on what Moses said, they couldn't hear what Jesus was saying. And that's sad because it happens even today. Some people are just stuck on coming to church, and they have a good consciousness of who God is when they're in the building. But when they leave constant consciousness of who God is. And it was never designed to be that. When that's when the shift has to come. The shift can never take place in a person's life unless you have some teaching or some training. So Jesus is the master teacher. I love to follow him in scripture. When I first got saved, my favorite Bible was John. I mean, favorite book was John. Amen. That was my favorite book. And I didn't know that much about the Lord, but the more I studied John, I found out he was the youngest disciples of Jesus. Amen. Not only that, but he just loved Jesus. Praise. That's what you know when your heart is clean. Amen. You just love Jesus. And he just loved them so much. But I loved his writing, amen, because it began to show more of a relationship that he had and was trying to find out who Jesus was and what he wanted to do. Let me give this for you for free. It won't cost you anything, but when we get into the kingdom message, it's going to teach you four things. It's going to teach you four things, amen. And I'm going to try to slow down because I'm wanting to get excited. And you'd be like looking at me and say, where is he going? I'd be, but I want you to hear this today because, you know, we're in training for reigning, schooling for ruling. In other words, this is an education center. When we come to give our worship and our praise. But the center of what we do is the learning of God's word. Anytime we try to replace that, we're in trouble. Because God even said he lifted his word above his name. So the emphasis is always on his word. Are y'all hearing me today? So the four things that you learn, you're going to learn who you are in Christ. God wants you to know who you are, because if you don't understand who you are, your identity is found in Christ through the scripture. And if you're not trained in that, you still have a form of mindset of who you think you are. And that's not who God says you are through scripture. So he's going to teach us who we are in Christ. The second thing he's going to teach you is what we have received in Christ. Because we have received something. Yeah. Is that all right? We're going to be talking about what we receive a little bit today. Amen. Praise God. It's going to bless you real good too. Praise God. So who we are in Christ, what we have received in Christ. The third thing is how to appropriate the word of God in everyday living. How to appropriate the word of God in everyday living. And the last one is to be an effective witness for Christ. Those are the four things. When you talk about kingdom, that's what it's designed to do. It's going to teach us who we are in Christ, what we received in Christ, how to appropriate the word of God in everyday living, and how to be an effective witness to them that are lost. Can y'all say amen? In Matthew chapter number 4, let's just look at verse number 17. It talks about how Jesus is starting his ministry now. He's already met with John. He came down to the River Jordan, and John looks and says, behold, the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. And then Jesus comes to John. He says, okay, I'm reporting in, Jesus says, and you know our assignment. Your job is to baptize me because I'm submitting myself to you. You, a man that's called of God, John, I'm submitting myself to you so you can baptize me. The Bible says that John had a problem with that because mentally he said no, and it came out of his mouth. He said, no, I need to be baptized of you. Jesus said, listen, change your mindset, suffer it to be so we can fulfill all righteousness. Then the Bible says John, amen, submitted his mind and got that thought out of his mind and said, yes, I'm going to baptize you. That's my assignment. So he began to baptize Jesus. The Bible says when Jesus went under the water, shows us that baptism is not sprinkling. Baptism is when you're submerged under the water. If you follow Jesus, there's no confusion. If you follow man, he's going to turn it in all kind of different directions. But if we follow Jesus, because Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. Praise God. So we stick with the verse, stick with Jesus. We can't go wrong. Somebody say we can't go wrong. And some people say, well, no, you're trying to talk. No, I'm just trying to stay with the Bible. Praise God. So the Bible said Jesus was submerged under the water. The Bible says after he came up out of the water straightway, the Bible says straightway means immediately the heavens were open. a voice came out of heaven and said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And then the Spirit of God came down upon him like a dove. If you would back that up just a minute, amen, before Jesus, amen, comes and walks and sees John, amen, he says, behold, the Lamb of God. He identifies who Jesus is. Then they have the conversation. Now it's a subject to one's will to do what the will of God is, because the Word of God has already told John, you need to baptize him. Well, John doesn't want to do it. Jesus said, listen, get back on track. Amen. Now they're both obedience, amen, is walking to fulfill what we call righteousness. Righteousness is when we do things God's way. Touch your neighbor, say, relax. That's okay. Touch him and say, relax. We're not talking about your behavior now. We're talking about doing things God's way. So because of their obedience and righteousness and willing to do it according to the scripture, the Bible said the heavens opened. Then the Spirit of God, what? Spoke. And then the Spirit of God, what? Came down like a dove upon him. That's what we call manifestation. Manifestation, in other words, God fulfilling this promise with a sign or a wonder. Can y'all say amen? So you'll see, amen, as we pick this up now, Jesus is coming out of that place of after being baptized. And then the Bible says, as it's from in 4 and 17, from that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I like the word repent, amen. It's R-E-P-E-N-T. And the word repent, you start with the first two letters, it's R-E. It means to turn. He's telling the people to turn, and I like, you know, this pent is like the penthouse. He said, not only turn, but look up. Don't look to yourself anymore. So when repentance comes in, it's a change of heart and change of mind. That means you stop what you're doing, turn it around, and do something different. Repentance. Is that all right? So where we turn? We turn in our heart first. Amen, because our heart, amen, knows that we need God. I need him more than the breath that I'm breathing right now. I need him. I need his plan for my life. I need him because why? If I don't have him, I don't have life. I have my life, but I don't have his life. How many know his life, amen, comes from, produces by the word of God? Amen, praise God. Now notice he says that he preached, amen. The word preach means to proclaim. That's what preaching means. Preaching means to proclaim. In other words, he's using the gift to speak and declare. Some people think preaching is hooping and hollering. I can do that too sometime, praise God. But that's not preaching. Preaching is when you're proclaiming a truth, when you're saying something. How many know when you watch a commercial, they're really preaching to you? Yeah, when you watch a commercial on TV, they're really preaching to you. Why are they preaching to you? They're trying to get your attention. What do they want? They want you to will your will to the product. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right. They can't make you buy the product. Come on, I'm preaching right now, praise God. Yeah, and it's a 30-second or 3-minute or 60-second spot. Sometimes it's 60 seconds. And the thing is, they'll repeatedly bring it back again and again. I think they got that out of the Bible. I really do. Because the Bible said faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. See, God knows you don't catch it the first time. And God brings it back around again. And he brings it right. That's where those commercials are. You know, I'll be watching something on TV and before you know it, I'm watching something and I'm all into it and here come this commercial. And then you enter the program a good 15, 20 minutes and then here it come again. Here it comes again. Before you know it, it's just running through. You'd be like, I'll be finding the remote. I want to hit the mute button on it. Is that all right? So he's preaching, and he's now the message in his preaching is the kingdom. You'll find out prophetically as I'm talking now, amen, God's emphasis is now on the kingdom of God. You're going to hear it more now in the end times than you had before. Any time in history, because God, amen, is bringing us back to this place of understanding the kingdom of God, and the message that he gave us is so important, because this kingdom, amen, is talking about a king that's coming in the earth. But it's not so much him coming in the earth, it's the word of the king that's coming in the earth. Yeah. The Bible says in Psalms 107, verse number 20, it said, He sent His word, and His word healed us, listen, and delivered us from all our fears. Amen. In Ecclesiastes 8:4, it says, Where the word of the king is, there is power. It's the word. They thought when he mentioned kingdom, they thought, well, God was going to come down and physically set his kingdom in the earth. That's what the Hebrew people, the Jewish people, that's what they were thinking, because they were relating to something that they knew but didn't understand the revelation behind what he was really saying. Even in the Lord's Prayer, we pray the prayer, Our Father, who are in heaven. And it says, Hallowed be thy name. Listen, and thy kingdom come. It's not a physical kingdom that's coming. It's his word that's coming. It's the word coming from heaven to earth. Are you hearing me? It's the word, amen. My God, it's the word that he sent. That's how he's going to establish his kingdom, through the word. Is that making any sense? The Pharisees asked him, they said, You've been preaching the kingdom so much. Where is this kingdom? We want to see it, because they were thinking naturally. When you think naturally, amen, you put it, the words that are coming from God, you put them on the level where you are, but that not mean anything he's talking about. They said, You've been talking about the kingdom so much. Where is the kingdom? Jesus said, The kingdom of God comes not with observation. He said, You're thinking naturally. That's not how it's coming. That's not the way it's coming. Amen. It's not coming through observation where you can see it and say, There's a kingdom and there's a kingdom. He said, No, this kingdom is a word, and the word is going to be in you. Amen. The king is going to be in you. I got some good news for you. Jesus is alive. I got some more good news for you. His word is alive in us. Is that all right? Amen. It's not something I'm making up. It's a truth. And it only becomes life when you grab hold of it and agree with him and say that the king's word is inside of me. Is that making any sense? So when we talk about the kingdom, amen, I want you to hear this, amen. I wrote some things down here. Being in the kingdom allows us to live under a divine plan. Being in the kingdom allows us to live under a divine plan. This is done by living out the instructions received from God's word. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter number 3, if you would, please. We're going to rightly divide the word today. Amen. I like rightly dividing the word. 2 Timothy 3 and 16. Hallelujah. When you're there, just say amen. Amen. It says, All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all, it says here, good works. Somebody say good works. Now this is important for you to hear this, because it's saying here, amen, Paul was writing to Timothy, which is his protege. He is mentoring him in terms of his relationship with God, to the degree of the calling that's on Timothy's life to be a pastor. He's trying to let him know that all scripture is given by the inspiration. This is where inspiration means the breath of God. The breath of God. The breath of God. The breath of God. The breath of God is the Spirit of God. The Bible says in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. But before that it said God moved upon the face of the waters. Amen. Because in the beginning was God. But God is not a person. He's a spirit. A speaking spirit. How do we know that? Because he speaks. When he said, Let there be light, bam. That means the power, when he says, it creates. Yes. Are you hearing me? Yes. So that's the power of God to create. So he's telling him, he said, All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. When you look at the five books of the Bible called the Torah, you'll find out who wrote that, amen, was Moses. But Moses wasn't there at the beginning. He gets it because God reveals to him what to say. This is a piece that most people don't believe. Anything God creates, he is able to speak to it. Yeah. So Moses is downloading because God is speaking to him through his intellect, through his mind, speaking things. How many know sometimes we just get quiet? This is not moving, but this is moving. And you can hear your thoughts. But Moses is hearing God speak through his thoughts to write down what needs to be written down. Moses is not that smart, I'm telling you. He couldn't have put it together like that. I mean, it's very confusing, praise God. Notice also that the kingdom message is designed to empowerment message. That's where I want to spend a little time now, because I want to tell you who God says you are. Is that all right? Even to the degree that we have to renew our minds to grab hold of that and to confess it. If this is what God says, we should say, so be it. I agree with it. Be it unto me according to your word. Is that all right? Now turn over to the 1 John chapter number 12 in the Amplified. I'm going to read this. This is the Gospel of John. Amen. Amen. 1 and 12. And when you find that, just say amen. Amen. This is Gospel of John. The word gospel means good news. How many know we all can stand some good news? I guarantee you watch CNN, you're not going to get no good news. Hello? If you go to work and if people are not tied to the gospel, you're not going to get any good news out of them either. If you're not careful, amen, all you're hearing is death and destruction and chaos and this is happening and this is happening and that's happening. That is because the world has rejected the word of God to rule over it. Is that all right? For the Bible says the kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Jesus even put it this way. He said, you're in the world, but you're not of the world. Is that all right? Now, in the scripture, it says over in 1 John, it says 1 and 12, if you're there, it says that, this is the King James Version, it says, many as received him, to them he gave you power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I got a question. How many of you have received Christ and you're not ashamed of it? Raise your hand. Amen. Now, you know what the scripture is saying? Because you received him, now you have been given power. You mean to tell me, preacher, I got power? Yes, you do. But the power is not of you, it's about what you receive that empowers you to have the power. Is that all right? Yes. Notice what the scripture says, amen. Amen. In the Amplified, it says, but as many as did receive and welcome him, he gave authority, power, privilege, and the right to become the children of God, that is to those who believe and adhere to and trust in him and rely upon him. So the power is to become. The power is to change who you think you are to be who God has called you to be. The power to change one's mind, the power to change one's heart, the power to change one's speech, the power to change your choices and how you walk and do life. Amen. So he's telling you, when you receive him, amen, he doesn't want you to come and just sit on the pew in the church. He wants you to get the instructions that's found out of the book so he can teach you who you are in Christ and what you receive, because what you receive will give you the power for him to change you from who you are to who he wants you to be. Is that making any sense? When I got saved, amen, amen, I knew that I was saved, but I knew it was more than just being saved. I need to be changed. I need to be changed. And I can't change myself. If I could, I'd have done it a long time ago. So change comes through the understanding of the instructions that God gives us. And when we receive the word of God and take it in our hearts and begin to change our mind, follow the instructions that he's given us, amen, things will change not only inside of it, but also we can change those who are around us. In the Beatitudes, Jesus preached from three chapters, 5, 6, and 7, on the Beatitudes, talking about how kingdom wants us, the kingdom message here on the earth, how he wants us to relate with one another now. And this is powerful because what? Once we grab hold that there's something that God wants to do in you and through you and out of you, that's going to change your neighborhood. That's going to change, amen, your children, amen. It's going to help them see Jesus in a way that they've never seen him before, because you have the light of God working inside of you. Because he can move desires out of you that you think can't be moved, amen. He can give you a loving heart when you thought you didn't have a loving heart, amen. He can have you say things normally that you wouldn't say because you were more concerned about yourself, but now you're more concerned about him, and what you want to do is please him. So the becoming, amen, is progressive. It's progress. It's moving progressively. It's not a fast movement. It's a movement that God is changing us from being what I call self-conscious to become more God-conscious. Does that make any sense today? So this scripture talks about instructions how to operate really out of heaven's plan. Heaven's plan is that he wants everybody to change. You can't come to Jesus, say you love him, and don't change. You can't stay the same. When I received Jesus, I knew my, I didn't get saved to serve him. Some people get saved that they can serve him. No, I got saved so he can change me. Is that all right? Yeah. I used profanity. I hung out with the boys. I drank. I cheated on my wife. That has nothing to do with God. That has a lot to do with humanity and what we think life is. Sitting around me, myself, and I, and I just want to enjoy life and never fulfill the purpose of why you've been born. Because we want to fulfill our own desires. When Jesus said, I'm coming to change that desire in you, I'm going to save you from all that mess, Ron, that you used to do. Then I'm going to place you in the kingdom of God, even though I'm going to have you go to church so you can be trained from a book called the Bible. And then as you hear the word of God, be a hearer and a doer of the word, and the word will change you from who you are to who I called you to be. So I grabbed hold of the mandate. I grabbed hold of it, amen, as a young age. And I remember telling the boys at the ballpark, I'm not playing baseball anymore. I'm going to go to church. They said, but you can still go to church and play ball. I said, no, you don't understand, amen. I'm going to learn about this thing. I want to learn how he wants to change my life, amen. I found out I stopped cursing, amen. I stopped drinking, amen. I was faithful to my wife, amen. I learned how to speak to my kids without arguing and fighting them because something had happened on the inside and now it's working on the outside. Y'all ain't hearing me today because I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about a relationship where the word gets down in you and change you from who you think you are to who he wants you to be. Yeah. I remember working sometime, God, this working and following God, somebody asked me, man, you changed. I said, yes, I have. They said, you going to church? I said, no, the church isn't me. Because I've seen those that go to church and no change. I'm talking about the real deal. I'm talking about the kingdom, amen. I'm talking about the message of the kingdom that's designed to teach you who you are in Christ, what you received in Christ, how to appropriate the word of God in everyday living, and how to be an effective witness to those who are lost. Can y'all say amen? Amen. Somebody said, well, you got scripture behind that? I do. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse number 17. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse number 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and 17. Amen. Glory to God. This is good stuff today. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. Are you there? It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. When you receive Christ, he's going to work on you. I mean, he's going to work on you something fierce. Because he needs to show you that when you're doing it right, he'll pat you on the back. When you're not doing it right, he'll put his finger on it because now you're uncomfortable. And now he wants you to pray for help to get it changed. Sometimes we're praying for the car, we're praying for the house, praying for the blessing. Sometimes we need to be praying, God, change my heart, change my behavior, change my mindset. And the Bible said we pray anything according to his will, he heareth us. I believe that's one prayer he hears directly because he wants us to be changed in his image. Can y'all say amen? Amen. Now here's the thing I want you to hear, amen, when we talked about him empowering us. This word empower means to confer or to be authorized. Y'all hear that? The word confer also means to grant or to bestow favor. It also means empowerment into divine purpose for one's life, which is the provisions being released to bring about empowerment into a divine purpose for one's life, which is the provisions being released to bring about change. The word of God is so powerful, it can change you. It can change you for the good of your home, for your community, it can now put you to the place that you know that you have power to pray for people. Yes. Are you hearing me? Yes. See, the religious mindset was that the pastor had everything. You had to get to him to get the spiritual blessings that you need. But in Jesus, Jesus said, no, I'm going to pick out 12 guys, amen. One is a tax collector. One, amen, is going to be a fisherman. One's going to be a physician. And they know nothing about spiritual things. But God, when they follow Jesus, he begins to teach them. Because when you're being taught by him, there's a different way. A different way of living, a different way of responding when people say something wrong. Is there always a different way? And that different way is learned when we learn to follow Christ. Amen. I'm a better person. You're a better person when we receive Christ. Would you agree with me? How many know that everybody doesn't agree with you because they're not on that same level that you're on, but that shouldn't change you from whom God says you are. Is that making any sense? So being in the kingdom, amen, has a lot to do with us growing. Somebody say growing. Amen. I says, there's something I tell the people in the ministry. It says, no one fails in God's school. It just takes some of us a little longer than others. The school is life. Jesus said, I come that you may have life. We're trying to have church. Jesus said, I come that you have life. We're trying to worship. Jesus said, I come that you have my life. We're trying to help those who are hurting and sick. Listen, Jesus said, I come that you have life and that you may have what? So that life is God's way of you living here in the earth. God's way of him, you living here in the earth has a lot to do with instructions that are found out of the Bible that we just talked about. So when we grow, it's about growing is hearing and doing. My God. The Greek model of hearing, of growing in our society, if you got a good memory, you can go to some six-figure jobs if you got a good memory. Because all you're doing is recalling what you know. But that don't mean that you know it. Jesus said, you can't use that model with me. James picked up, said, be a hearer and a doer of the word. Jesus said, and when you know the truth you know will make you free. Not the truth you remember. He said, no, the truth you know will make you free. Why did he say it that way? He knew that when you hear it, it has to pass through you submitting to what it does. That's called obedience. Yeah. Amen. Obedience, when you bow your will to say, not my will, but your will be done. There's certain things I just won't do, not because I can't do them. I do them because it's not his will for my life. Is that making any sense? Well, somebody said, well, how do you know what his will was? I studied the Bible. Don't let the book sit on the shelf. Don't just pick it up on Sundays when you get ready to go to church. Come on, y'all hearing me today. We have to become students of the word and let the word speak to you to tell you who you are in him. Because you've been empowered. You have power right now. The power, amen, to be a blessing to God and be a blessing to your family. Amen. And that's a powerful piece when you really understand that. Turn to 2 Peter, amen, 3 and 18. We're almost done here. 2 Peter 3 and 18. Give me 10 minutes. I'll be done. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Because it don't take all day with God. Amen. It takes us to have a mindset and understand what he wants from us. Amen. What he wants from us, it's a life for life. He said, whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. It's a sad thing. People spend billions of dollars trying to find out who they are to better their life. When they don't realize, amen, all I have to do is pick up this thing called the Bible. Amen. Biblical instructions before leaving earth and find out you've been born naturally, but you need to be born again. And when you're born again, you're born of the word. Then you have a mindset to understand what his will is. The priority and the authority of your life now is what we call the word of God. Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And when you do the word of God, you do the will of God. When you do the will of God, you please God. When you please God, he wants to do everything he can to protect you because he's your father now. And you're not independently driven outside of the word trying to take care of yourself. Now he's there to help take care of you because you're in covenant relationship with him because you allow him to come in your heart now. And now you've gotten full knowledge of who you are in him. And you know that you're a child of the king and you're in the process of being changed day by day as you begin to call on him as your Lord and your Savior. There's nothing can hit you in life when you know that you have to take care of yourself. The best freedom that you can get when something starts hitting your life is take it to daddy. Praise God. I'm going to talk to daddy about this. Daddy, can you fix that? He said, you know what? It's my will to fix it. Amen. I'm going to see that I'm going to take you from this point to another. You will never have to walk alone mentally by yourself when you receive Jesus. He said, I'm going to be in you and nobody can take me out of you. Are y'all hearing me today? And when you know that, amen, you're not crazy. You're not just talking to the air. You're talking out of a knowledge and a relationship, which is called covenant, that's given by the blood of his son. When he got on Calvary's hill and said, it is finished, and gave up the ghost. And when he put the go down in the grave, now he's operating in resurrection power to let us know that he is there with us by his word and his spirit. Can y'all say amen? My God, I feel like preaching. I don't know where that came from, but that was good. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Are y'all hearing me today? Amen. God know that we need him. That's why he sent his son. He didn't wait for us to get right. He sent his son. The Bible of God said he loved us before we loved him. He knew what we needed before we even needed ourselves, praise God. He knew we needed a Savior, somebody that would take the place for us, amen, and begin to nail our old life on the cross and then bury it and then raise him up to be a new man in a new body, praise God, that can walk through walls when his disciples are hiding out, praise God, that can sit down and eat a meal with him, amen, and walk on water. Y'all hearing me today, glory to God. We're talking about the power of God, amen, Tim, changing and transforming our life so we can be an instrument of righteousness for those who have no clue of who he is. Sometimes I like meeting people I used to know me. They say, how you doing? I said, I'm doing well. First thing they say, you look good. Because they see the light of God. I see the light of God in you. It's good to get an old picture where you used to look before you got saved. And look at the picture when you are. Now, some of you probably said, well, I received Christ when I was young. Hold on to that. You don't want that old picture. Ain't nothing to admire about that. Does that make any sense? 2 Peter 3:18, amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Are you there yet? Yeah. Listen to what it says in 2 Peter 3:18. Amen. Let me get here. Mm-hmm. All right, yeah. 2 Peter 3:18. And it says here, amen, in the scripture. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord. It says, but grow in grace. And in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, to him be glory both now and forever. So grace, I like grace. I remember when we were in elementary school, I know some of y'all probably been a while ago like me, but I remember they used to give you grace period. You know, you had to, in junior high school, you had to leave one classroom and go to another classroom, and you had so much time to get to the other classroom. And when the bell rang, you don't want to be in the hallway because they have hall monitors. And they give you a little ticket, you know, to let you know, you didn't make it or you clowning around. But the thing, this grace is that the bell didn't immediately ring. You knew you had a certain amount of time to get to where you need to go. And grace is like giving you time to get where you need to go. Is that all right? In other words, grace allows you to get in position. See, most people confuse God's grace is him just forgiving us and never change. But I'm going to set that straight because it's grace is so that you can grow. So if you're sitting and just sucking up all the grace and Jesus comes back and he looks at you and he doesn't see himself in you, because you spent all that time for yourself and didn't grow, that's going to be a problem. Jesus put it this way in Luke chapter number 6. You don't have to turn there. 6:46 somewhere. He said there were a man that built a house. This place called Grace. He took the grace to build a house, but he built it on the sand. It didn't have no foundation. And when the storm came, it tore down the house. Then he said, I liken it to this other man. He's one that hears what I say and do it. This man is one who takes, amen, grace in terms of what he hears, because it's a period of time you have to build now. You just can't build in a day, glory to God. Amen. So he hears what he says And he does what he hears. He said, this man built his house on a rock. And when the storms of life came, he was able to stand. That refers to you hearing the word. Who hears the word will build something in them, and they will build on the rock. Well, the rock is Christ. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. So when the storms of life start raging, yeah. I was remembering some time ago, I think it was in Oklahoma somewhere, and you can always tell a believer when things start hitting their life, they respond differently. One person got their house tore up, torn it, just ripped it apart. They were interviewing, they were crying, we lost everything. We lost everything. Oh, we're just devastated. I don't know what we're going to do. They showed another person. The person says, you know what? We did lose everything, but it can be replaced. Just as calm. I said, why are they so calm? They got their house tore up, lost everything. Because they didn't put their trust in things. They put their trust in God. And God knows how to restore stuff. Is that all right? Is that all right? Yeah, yeah. So check this out. Amen. Now, I had you read 2 Peter 3 and 18, right? Yeah. What are we supposed to grow in? The knowledge. The knowledge. The knowledge of who? It tells us. The knowledge of the Lord and the Savior. So the focus point is on Jesus. In the New Testament, we thank God for what Moses did and Joshua and how they walked across the Jordan, all that other. That's good, but that's not going to bring us to a real knowledge and saving knowledge, because that was written for our experience. Now we have a greater example. His name is Jesus. Jesus is teaching us how to have a relationship with God being our Father. Not when we get to heaven, but right now. We can call on him right now. Amen. And because we can call on him, amen, we can get some things done for us and also for our families. I never forget my son, because this relationship that God has allowed me to use, because I've been empowered to empower others. So he came home one day, he was in ninth grade. He said, Dad, I'm having a problem with algebra. Well, immediately I thought about it. It's been a while since I took it. I said, woo. But my mind went back to the rock, Christ and God the Father. Do you know that every book that's created, God already knows? So I said, you know what? The Bible said we pray anything according to his will. I know it's his will for you, son, to know algebra and move from a D and get this grade you need. So you know what I did? Instead of worrying and sweating about it, I just used my relationship. I said, I grabbed his hand. I said, we're going to pray and ask God to bless you. I said, your job is to study. And I'm praying that God will open your mind to this algebra. We did that for a couple of days. He went, did his studying. Kept believing. I said, we're going to believe now, but your job is, ain't all on God. Your job is to study. I said, turn the TV off, get it inside. I said, God's going to open your mind up so you can cause you to see and understand. So he went from a D to a B. See, this is the other part that people miss. God didn't save you for you to be on your own. After you get saved, you have a right now to call upon him for anything. And he's there to help you. I like the scripture, I can do all things through Christ, that strengthens me. So we have to pull on that. If you don't believe that, you won't pull on it. You think you have to do it. Somebody say, hit the easy button. They had a commercial, amen. I think the commercial was Staples. And they said, hit the easy button. You know, sometimes we need to put our faith in God and hit the button and ask him to help us do what we need to do. God will strengthen you. He's not going to do it himself. He usually moves through us to get it done. Can y'all say amen? So we want to grow in grace and in the knowledge of what? The Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now let me say this, I'm closing. The kingdom has invoked a change of address. We now have a heavenly status over our lives when we accept Jesus Christ. My God. Heaven, all those who raise their hands in confidence, heaven says, we're for you. Is that all right? And not only that, but because of Christ and what he did, he invokes this upon us. The word invoke means to be compelled, to be carried out, to be affected, to be executed, to be implemented, to be imposed, to lean on, to twist somebody's arm, to clamp us down, to crack down, to apply, to put in action, to put in force and set in motion. In other words, God is in your life to set you in motion so you can be a blessing. The good example about that, Abraham, the father of faith. Amen. The Bible says his name was Abram. When God got done with him, he was called Abraham, the father of many nations, because God invoked his will upon him. He said, I will bless you. When God said he's going to bless you, can't nobody curse you. It's the blessing will drive you to be blessed. Amen. When he heard that, it drove him out of his home. Praise God. Everything that he was familiar with, because he was on a journey with faith and relationship with God. Does that make any sense? It's also for you to understand that the word of the king is designed to bless you. Somebody said, to bless you. Somebody said, to favor me. Spiritually, we talked about that last night. Spiritually, naturally, physically, financially, emotionally. Of course I'm going to look good. I ain't bragging. I'm just telling you what's inside of me. Is that all right? You're supposed to look good. Why get saved and still look the same? What kind of testimony is that for the Lord? There's no testimony. But because we have the word of life inside of us and we follow the word of life, he's going to make us feel better, look better, because what? He wants to get the witness out of us, the testimony out of us. So somebody can say, they said, man, you still drinking? I said, you know what? Lord, help me get rid of that. Because they want me to say, I did it. Well, if I did it, like I said, I'd have done it a long time ago. I was so sick of myself, I wanted to divorce myself. I couldn't find an attorney to do it. I said, no, you need to go see a psychiatrist. Are you hearing me today? Sometimes we get sick of ourselves, but that's all right. God has the remedy. If we learn how to follow his leading, his word will bring you out, only to bring you into something greater than you ever can imagine. Can y'all say amen today? Last scripture, amen, is found over in Psalms 107 and 20, and I'm going to stop there. Psalms 107 and 20. Lord, I thank you for these kings and priests that are here today. They're learning to be students of your word so they can change how they think, change how they feel, change what they say, and change how they act. Psalms 107, I said, verse number 20. Yep. He sent his word. That would have been enough. We could have put a period there. But he sent his word with an objective. Yes. It said to heal them. Yes. He could have put a period there and stopped. Because healing is not so much for your physical body. Healing is for you mentally to think right. Because the Bible said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. One thing we had to understand that through Christ's sacrifice and what he did for us, it causes us now to relieve ourselves from thinking just about us all the time and think about him. I heard somebody before I came in the service today, they was quoting Isaiah, whose mind is stayed on the Lord, he will keep them in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon him. You know what? If you can force your mind into being disciplined and think about God throughout the day, you're going to have a whole lot of peace. Is that making any sense? It's about what we put our minds on. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, what? And his righteousness and all these other things, he'll add unto you. So God, he wants to help us. He's not against us, but we have to understand that we have power now. Touch your neighbor and say, I got power today. The power is in knowing. Are you hearing me? I got about 6 minutes. I said 10 minutes. I'm winding down, praise God. I got 6 minutes left, praise God. The power is in knowing, in knowing, in knowing. When you know that you know that you know that you know you know, praise God, nobody can change your mind. You just standing in what you know and your confidence and boldness to know that I 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 know. It's like somebody using the transit system and trying to get downtown. And this person, before they left the house, they looked at the schedule. And the schedule said the bus comes at 6:30 a.m. Well, they got themselves ready. They went out there and waited on the bus. Here comes somebody come along who didn't read the schedule. And they know the bus comes at 6:30. And they came out there, and they're looking. And they're looking at the watch. The other guy's all calm. So you can tell people who know something, they just calm. Other person's panicking, looking. Finally, 6:30 come, no bus. You can hear him. Man, the bus is, but what in the world is going on? I don't understand it. I'm going to be late. Da, 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 da. And they're just all over. The other person just is calm. See, when you know something, you can relax. Finally, the person gets so upset, they leave. As soon as they leave, the other one's just standing there calm. Because mentally, the person says, you know what? I know even though he left, it's supposed to be 6:30. It's always been here. For some reason, something must have happened. So I'm going to wait till I see it arrive. And eventually, it shows up. Now, who benefited from that? I believe it's the one that's on the bus. I think the one that's still walking and running around is because he didn't have confidence in what he had read. Listen, we have to have confidence in what God has told us, because God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. If God said he's going to bless you, bless your family, and you're going to be a blessing, you need to stand on it till you see the manifestation of it coming to pass in your life. You need to understand, you have the power to bless people. I got 3 minutes now, and I'm trying to work these 3 minutes. Oh, my God. You have the blessing right now. Don't walk around people in your family when you know you got the power to put your hand on and bless them. Bless means to make an announcement. Make an announcement over them. Sometime my sister-in-law, she couldn't get a job anywhere. She didn't know. I started praying for her. She don't have to know it. I just prayed. Because what? I have the authority to go to God and ask on behalf of others and not so much ask so much for myself. Somebody asked God, would you bless her with a job? Recently, she just got a job. I said, thank you, Lord. She may not have thought it, thanked them, but I thanked them. The kids that are here, amen, your children, you want to make sure you lay your hands upon them. We do our children in ministry. We lay our hands on them. Something we say, we bless them. We say, you're going to have academic success. Right now we have kids, amen, who are in poor neighborhoods, and their mother and father, amen, economically, they're not just that have the money to send them to school, but these kids are getting scholarships. Could we call that thing forth? We ain't just taking it for what it is. We're calling it forth because we have the authority, the right, and the privilege. Got 2 minutes, glory to God, amen, to work this thing and begin to bless people. You can go on your job and bless your job. I remember working at a job, amen, amen. I was working there, and I found another believer there. Then this is the news we heard, amen. They're going to close the company. If we don't get this contract, there are 3 other companies bidding on this contract. If we don't get this contract, then the company is going to close. I looked at the other believer. He looked at me, because we read the Bible, and the Bible said, if you touch and agree upon anything according to the Father's will, we thought about, what is the Father? Is it the Father's will that these people be out of work and I be out of work? No, that ain't the Father's will. Is it the Father's will that the company goes somewhere else and the community goes down? No, that's not the Father's will. So I said, you know what? Heaven's going to help us change the situation. So we arrived early in the morning, come in his office, amen. He was one of the marketing guys, amen, that was on the team, amen, to present a package, amen, to try to get this deal. So we were touching and agreeing in his office. Prayer is not begging. Prayer is enforcing God to come in the midst to help you do what you need to do. Some people say prayer, amen, is for the weak. No, prayer is for the strong. Because when we pray, he makes us strong. Paul said, when I'm weak, he makes me strong. Amen. Praise God. Prayer is a sign of humility. I got a minute. Glory to God. Prayer is humility. Humility in terms of our heart and our confession to call on God. And God said, if anybody calls on me, I mean, I've got a contract heart and a broken spirit. He said, I would begin to hear. We start praying and praying and praying. He would come back and say, you know, we put down the proposal. And right now they're trying to determine who's going to be. It's only 2 in the race now. It was our company and somebody else's. So we prayed again. Because when you pray, you want to see that thing through. You just want to pray it and just let it go. You want to pray it till you see it through. And finally, I got 30 seconds left. Glory to God. Listen, we prayed and we prayed and we prayed. Then finally, the news, they had a meeting. And I'm thinking, everybody was thinking in their minds, well, this is it. They're going to tell us today that the building, that we're done. We're done. We're done. We're all in the meeting. The other believer, he was there. They said, we got the contract. And there's a, then the scripture said, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and add no sorrows with it. Let me tell you, when God blessed us, not only did we get the contract, I got a raise. I got a promotion. Other people got a promotion. They weren't worried about their kids going hungry, because what God has designed to help us through this thing called L-I-F-E, called life. Somebody say amen today. Amen. Praise God. Just bow your heads with me, if you would, a word of prayer. Father, we thank you that you empower your believers today. Let them know they have a right to call on your name for anything. They don't have to ask. They don't have to beg. They can just ask in the name of Jesus on behalf of their family, marriages that are broken around them, people that are Congress, our president, even our neighborhood. When things are not right, we don't have to accept this. Say, oh, that's just the way it is. We can pray to a God in heaven who can still send help to move on our behalf, God. Father, that's why we know, according to the word, you said that this is the power that you've given us in relationship to know how to will your will in the earth so we can see change brought about in our lives. So Lord, I'm praying that no one will be without in this ministry, God. If there's somebody struggling spiritually, physically, financially, emotionally, I pray even now that deliverance through this word will cause them to see that they have a God they can call upon. And as they call upon you, we know it's your will for them to be at peace, to have joy and prosperity for their own home. Father, if there's a student here, whether they're in high school, whether they're in elementary school, whether they're in college, I pray that you bless them with academic success, God. Let them know if they ever get in a situation where they can't process it, they can call on you, and you being the God of heaven and earth can open up their understanding. God, help us always understand that life is better when we know that you are our Father taking care of us and not we taking care of ourselves. So Lord, we thank you even as we pray this prayer today. Thank you for our time together today. Thank you for the word of faith. Amen. We've been fed good, but help us to be hearers and doers of the word. Father, stir our hearts up. If there's somebody here that have never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their life, God, give them the boldness to say, you know what? I don't want so much church, but I want my life changed. I want to know about this man, Jesus, and what he can do in my heart and in my life. I'm ready to turn my life over to Jesus. Father, we give you praise and we thank you, Father. Father, I pray that you help those who are hurting in their body this morning. I pray that you bring healing to them in ways that only you know how. And Father, we thank you for what you've done in our lives and in this meeting today. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you.
Did you get something out of that today? Amen. Good, 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 good word. Hallelujah. And we got more at 6 o'clock tonight. So we encourage you, come back, get blessed, and go forth in power. Amen. Father, we thank you for the word this morning. We thank you, Father, for your spirit of worship, your spirit of leading us and directing us and giving us instructions to live. And God, we receive those instructions that we might have abundance, that we might have overflow, that we might have excess in our life because we are living in the abundance of God. And Father, we receive all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you.